We are continuing on in our series in Exodus as God delivers his people, as he delivers us. Let's pray as we come to our passage. Father, your word is truth. It spoke to people thousands of years ago. It speaks to us today. And Lord, may you be honored. May our hearts and minds be open to what your word says today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So sometimes you come to passages, and this happens in the Old Testament a lot, where you say, man, I'm not exactly sure what this has to do with me today. How does this relate? This is written over 3,000 years ago. What exactly does it have to do with me? And my hope is that I can show you that today, that it does have to do with us, because the Word of God is living, it says. It's living and active, more powerful than a two-edged sword. It cuts to our heart. So God's word is active today just as it was 2,000-3,000 years ago. And so as we come to it, I'm going to read just part of a genealogy. And some of you might know what that means, some of you might not. But every part of the Bible is important, every single part. And I'm in Exodus 6 and verse 13. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron about the Israelites and Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he commanded them to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. These were the heads of their families. The sons of Reuben, the firstborn son of Israel, were Hanok and Palu, Hezron and Carmi. These were the clans of Reuben. The sons of Simeon were Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, Jachin, Zohar, Shaul, the son of a Canaanite woman. These were the clans of Simeon. These were the names of the sons of Levi, according to their records: Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Levi lived 137 years. And then it goes on to give more of Levi's descendants. And just so you know, the key to reading biblical names is to sound confident. That's the way to do it, because no one knows it, no one else knows either. Skipping down to verse 20, it says, Amram married his father's sister Jochebed, who bore him Aaron and Moses. All right, so I'll just stop that there. And then continuing toward the end of the chapter there, verse 26, it says, it was this same Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, bring the Israelites out of Egypt by their divisions. They were the ones who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, about bringing the Israelites out of Egypt. It was the same Moses and Aaron. So why is the Lord doing this? Why does the Lord give us this genealogy? The genealogy is there to show that these two people are people that came out of the people of Israel. And they're regular people, just like you and me. Okay, they came from a lineage, and they came from a priestly tribe. Levites were the priestly tribe. And a priest in the Old Testament was a go-between between man and God. And they would offer sacrifices and offer the blood. We do not need priests any longer. That's why in our church and other churches, we don't call the leaders the priests. We call pastors, because a priest is a go-between. We only need one high priest, and that is Jesus. You don't need me to get to God. You can go there directly. And what's interesting, too, is that as we read on, we're going to see that it says Aaron was 83 and Moses was 80. And I believe what God is showing us in the genealogy and in those statements is that these are just regular guys. It's not their strength and their might that's doing this. Now, we have a few people in our church who are over 80. I won't ask you to raise your hands or anything. I don't want to embarrass Duncan. We're the same age. I'm only kidding. But those of you who are 80 plus, how would you like to lead a revolution and take thousands of people out of slavery, out of a foreign country? Not an easy task. Not an easy task if you're 20 or 40. These are just regular people serving a mighty God. Okay, that is the big point here. And that's what we're going to see as I read on here. If we go to chapter 7, verse 1, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his country. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart. And though I multiply my miraculous signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt, and with mighty acts of judgment, I will bring out my divisions and my people, the Israelites. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it. So when God says to Moses, I'll make you like God to Pharaoh. What he's saying is that Aaron's going to be like Moses' prophet. God is going to speak to Moses. Moses is going to speak to Aaron. Aaron's going to speak to the people. So he's not saying that Moses is a god. He's just saying that Aaron's going to speak what Moses tells him to. And it's really because Moses is reluctant to speak publicly. He's reluctant. He says his words aren't powerful enough and he doesn't speak well. And so this is what happens in verse 6 when they go. It says, Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, when Pharaoh says to you, perform a miracle, then say to Aaron, take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh. It will become a snake. When Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded, Aaron threw his staff down in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Pharaoh then summoned wise men and sorcerers, and the Egyptian magicians also did the same things by their secret arts. Each one threw down his staff, and it became a snake. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said. So what's the main point here? God's power is greater than the power of anybody or anything that the Egyptians currently worship. God is greater. Now, we see that, and this seems like strange stuff to us. But remember this, God can do anything. God can make a staff turn into a snake. Why can these other people do the same thing? We don't know. There is spiritual power in the world that's evil. But we know that God's power is greater. And that's really the theme of the next 5 or so chapters that we're going to look at. I'm not going to read all the chapters. I want to give a broad overview. I'm going to come back later and get into more specifics in future sermons. But I want to give you a broad overview of the plagues. God then brings plagues on Egypt because they won't let the Israelite people go. So I want to show you. I'm just going to summarize them. I have a chart up here. I'm going to explain what my different columns mean here. And believe me, I am going to get to what this has to do with us, because this has a lot to do with us. The first plague, the Nile was turned to blood. Moses or Aaron put the staff in the water. The Nile and all their water was turned to blood. The next was the plague of frogs. Frogs just everywhere. The next was gnats came out from the dust. The staff was put in the dust and the gnats came out. And then flies were all over the place. Livestock died. People were stricken with boils and sores. Hail, large hail came from heaven and destroyed lots of things. Plague of locusts that came like a storm. And then 3 days of darkness. They couldn't see. And then finally the plague of the firstborn, where the firstborn of every family in Egypt died. So these were the 10 plagues. But what God is showing us here is that he is greater than all of the Egyptian gods. That's really the point here. And what I want to show you here is I'm going to take you through the different gods and goddesses that they had. They had a god of the Nile that they worshipped. Well, guess what? God's more powerful than the god of the Nile. They had a water god who had the head of a frog. God can take care of that too. They had the god of the dust. Well, Moses made, or God made, gnats come from the dust. They have a god of creation who had the head of a fly. So God is systematically going through and showing that he is greater than all these other gods. They had a love goddess that had the head of a cow. I found that ironic when I heard that. It's interesting. There was a goddess of medicine. The people were stricken with boils and sores. There was a goddess of the sky. The hail came down. They couldn't stop it. They could pray to their gods, their so-called gods, but their gods couldn't accomplish anything. There was a god of storms and disorder and chaos. The locust came in like a storm and created chaos. And finally, the biggest god for the Egyptians was Ra, the sun god. They worshipped the sun as it went across the sky. Well, God snuffed out the sun for 3 days. And then finally, Pharaoh was referred to as a god, and he was the son, supposedly, of Ra, the sun god. But God can kill the firstborn. God can take life. He can give life and he can take life. So he showed that he was more powerful. Our God is greater than any other so-called God that there is. And you see also, and the third column might need a little explanation, But the first two plagues, the people, the sorcerers, were able to reproduce. They were able to duplicate them. But the last eight, they couldn't touch. And even the first two, they only went away when Moses prayed, and they went away. Okay, so they couldn't do what God could do. So the real point here is that God is sovereign, and God rules over anybody and every other power that there is. And then I want to get to the fourth column, because it says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and after each plague, here's what happened. So Moses and Aaron would say, please let us go. I don't know if they said please, but they said, let us go. And Pharaoh said no, and then the plague would come, and Pharaoh would say, okay, you guys can go. But then Moses would pray, the plague would go away, and then Pharaoh would go back on his word. Pharaoh would say, no, you got to stay. It says his heart was hardened. So after the first plague, it said it remained hardened. After the second one, it said Pharaoh hardened his own heart. And then it said it just was hardened, and then Pharaoh hardened his own heart, and then it said his heart was hardened after the next one. And then four out of the last five, it says the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. The Lord is actually in control of Pharaoh, their so-called God, their leader. And people have trouble with this sometimes because they say, well, how can God harden a heart? I mean, don't we have free will and all this stuff? But let's remember one thing. God is sovereign. God gets to do whatever he wants all the time. And I'd like to read to you one passage from Romans chapter 9 that refers back to this. In Romans 9, verse 16, it says that it does not therefore depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Therefore, God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden. So the point is that God gets to do what he wants. God is sovereign. He reigns and he rules over our lives. And I will tell you one thing, the only person, the only being that has completely free will, that can do whatever they want all the time, is God. He is completely free to do all that he wants. And he gets to do this. And this, what he's doing with hardening Pharaoh, is he's showing that he's in control even of Pharaoh. He's in control of everything that they're doing. So here's another question I want to raise to you today. These signs and wonders, a lot of times people will ask, well, are these for today? Can miracles like this happen today? And I would say yes. There are some Christians who say, no, they were for previous times. But God, again, can do whatever he wants all the time. And you might be saying, well, why don't they happen to me? Why don't I see these all the time? Well, as far as we know, Moses didn't see a miracle for the first 80 years of his life. And then God, in his own timing, decided to make this happen. But we should pray believing that God can do all things, that God can heal, and that God can do miraculous things. But remember this, as we read these passages, the Pharaoh said to Moses and Aaron, who is the Lord? That was his response. But God then showed him who the Lord is. The purpose of a miracle is to bring glory to God. It's not just to fix something in my life. It's to bring glory to God so that people may know the Lord. My guess is the Egyptians had great respect for the Lord, if not faith, at the end of these 10 plagues because of the power that he showed. So our signs and wonders for today, can God work powerfully in our lives today? You better believe he can. God is powerful. And so here's how I want to bring this into our lives today. When I think about what we just saw up there, what we just read in God's word, remember this. Jesus is the new Moses. Jesus is the better Moses. Jesus comes to us to deliver us like Moses came to deliver the people of Israel out of slavery. Jesus delivers powerfully, just like Moses delivered with God's power. And what is Jesus' great sign? What is his great wonder that he accomplished? He died and he rose again. That is the great miracle. That is the great sign. If you have no other miracle that ever happens in your life, that one is good enough. that Jesus died and rose again so that you can live forever. That is the great sign. So here's what I want to tell you today. There is power in your life. If you have God in your life, there is power. Power to deliver you from anything. And I want you to think about what you need to be delivered from. And the answer to that is sin. Right? We are held captive to sin. We have sin in our lives that holds us down and holds us back and keeps us from living a life that is pleasing to God and brings honor to God. So think about the things that hold you back. Is it greed or lust or laziness or coveting? Or maybe it's indifference? Are there things in your life that hold you captive and hold you back? How about addiction or bad habits or an upbringing or a past that was just broken and that you need to break out of a bad pattern? How about emotions that take over sometimes? Anger or despair or unforgiveness or just something that controls your life, sadness or grief that just goes beyond what's normal emotion and just takes control of your life. Do these things ever control you? Well, the fact is that God is more powerful than anything. Jesus is more powerful than anything. And if you give your life to Him, He helps you get through these things and He delivers you and He promises you eternal life. There will come a day when you won't have any of these problems, when you will see Jesus face to face. That day will come when you will see Him. And the way we do that, the way we receive it is by faith. We put our faith in Jesus and He delivers us. But even after we're Christians, He continues to mold us and He continues to help remove this stuff from our life and help us to break the chains of these things in our life, the things that hold us back from living a victorious life where we love the way Jesus loved and we tell the truth the way Jesus told the truth. We want to break free from all this stuff because Jesus has power to break through physical and spiritual things. And one other thing I want to say to you about all this. When we talk about spiritual power, we talked about the Egyptian sorcerers who were able to do these miraculous things they look like. There is spiritual power in this world that's evil. There is. Scripture teaches us this. And it says in Scripture, our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the powers, the authorities of this dark world and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There is a spiritual battle out there. You see it in subtle ways and you see it in deeper ways, in more profound ways. You see it in things like white magic and black magic and Ouija boards and tarot cards and palm reading. You see it in these things. Stay away from these things. It's not funny. It's not harmless. It's dangerous. And I will tell you, when we used to go to Haiti, the thing is, in Haiti, it's much more overt. In this country, when you start talking about spiritual forces of evil, a lot of people say, whatever. You know, we're too educated for that. In Haiti, they know better. You know, they're not considered as educated, but in some ways, they're smarter, right? Because in Haiti, they have this thing called voodoo. And you hear the drums starting around midnight and people screaming and you know that they're just doing terrible things and you get this sense of evil that you can't even imagine. There's evil stuff in this world, but God is greater. I remember one night being awakened at midnight when I was in Haiti and I just got up, I opened my Bible, I just read the Psalms because I knew the Psalms. I knew that God's word had more power than what these people were doing. But even beyond that, in our own personal lives, whatever is holding you back, God has the power to break you free from that. And I pray that you would put your faith, you'd continue to put your faith in Christ. And if you've never done that, if you've never put your faith in Christ, let's do that today. You do that by asking God to forgive your sins. You do that by putting your faith in Jesus Christ and asking Him into your life, and your life is changed. If you'd like to do that today, pray with me. Pray this prayer, and it's not a magic chant. It's something that comes from our heart. It's something we have to mean and feel. Pray this prayer with me. Lord, I'm a sinner. I've sinned against You. Lord, I put my faith in You, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. I ask for forgiveness of my sins, and I accept You into my life, and I want to have a relationship with You. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, and that is the first time then praise God. This is really a big day for you because God is powerful and God changes people's lives. If you did pray that, come and talk to me afterwards. We can talk more about that. But maybe today you are a person who's been a Christian for a long time, but God is still working on things in your life. Pray that God will break you free from anything that is holding you back because he has the power to do it. He has a power over everything in our world. He is mighty to save.